You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jamie and Jason. This is episode 286, and today Jamie and I are going to be discussing biblical self-examination. You know, I think this is such an important topic because we live in a very fast-paced world. And Jamie, we've talked about this in other episodes, but, you know, it's very easy for us to be kind of taken in and taken captive is maybe a better way to put it, by the philosophies of this world. There's so many messages that are sent our way from media, from pop culture, from our workspace, whatever it might be. And we tend to imbibe those freely without actually stopping and examining, now what is it this message that's being sent to me is saying, and how does this affect my life? How does this compare with what God says about me? And so to stop and say, I need to consider who I am. Who did God make me to be? What am I called to be as a Christian man or a Christian woman in this life? And it's good. It's healthy. It's healthy to slow down and ask yourself some of these questions that are fast-paced culture just doesn't encourage. It just doesn't invite that kind of response. And, you know, we have times where we all, as Christians, will encourage quiet time, time alone with the Lord. But even that sometimes can feel a little bit rushed. And sometimes it has to be a literal retreat where you find yourself by yourself, whether it's, you know, in your car before you get out and go to work, or you know, taking a walk through a park, whatever it might be. I encourage self-examination. I know it's been a huge benefit for me in my life in helping me think through different aspects of, you know, what kind of decisions am I making here and how does this affect others? And it's healthy. It's good to do a lot of things in dialogue with others, of course. We've encouraged relationships and the wisdom of having many counselors speak into your life. That's certainly true. But there's also times where it's good to have a sense of solitude and get alone with God and with the Bible in front of you, asking yourself, you know, looking into God's word as if it was a mirror, basically, asking yourself, does my life align with this word? Because that, Jamie and I, you know, one thing we will consistently do, and we unashamedly do, is we're always going to be holding to the word of God as the plumb line. And it's always going to be our standard. It's always going to be the thing that we recognize we need to be held to, we need to be accountable to. And it's true for you. We would want to invite you into thinking that way too, asking yourself when you read scripture and have time alone with the Lord, am I making decisions primarily for me and my selfish desires, or am I making decisions in light of what God wants? And I think a good passage just to start us off, Jamie, is James 1. I could go to a lot of places. 2 Corinthians talks about the importance of examining yourself to see if you're in the faith. I would encourage people to check out 2 Corinthians, I think it's 13:5, something like that. But James says this, but be doers of the word, James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Super crucial statement there. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. And Jamie, my main takeaway from this passage is whenever I read scripture, I can't just think of it as I need to get more Bible knowledge. Yes, knowledge is important. And yes, our minds are shaped by the knowledge of God's word. But I also need to be asking the application questions and examining myself. But just like you, when you look in a mirror, you know, James's illustration here is perfect, because what do you do? The first thing you get up in the morning and you get ready for the day. You look at yourself in the mirror Well, maybe not everybody does that, but it might be a good idea. Make sure your hair's okay. Make sure you don't have anything stuck in your teeth from breakfast, right? It's a pretty common thing. You just want to make yourself, in a sense, presentable. Well, what about your heart? And what about the inner man, which people can't see? The Bible is like a mirror in showing us what we ought to look like and also showing us areas where we need to make some adjustments. And we need to bring ourselves into line with what's in Scripture. And so this is basically just, we're going to be talking about this, but this is an encouragement to have that sense of humble self-examination when you're in the Word of God, but also at other times in life. When you're making a big decision, or you're about to meet with somebody, you're about to have a crucial conversation, do you first do that practice of self-examination, saying, okay, how would I like to receive what I'm about to say? Or how would I need to address myself first before I address this other person?
Yeah, it's a good point, Jason. And like you pointed out, you know, a very biblical one that we are encouraged in a lot of texts and in a lot of contexts to examine ourselves. And consider, you know, have that introspection, I think is the term. One of the ones I thought of, you mentioned 2 Corinthians 13. The other one I thought of was 2 Peter, where, you know, we're encouraged in that particular context to, you know, endeavor to be diligent to confirm our calling or our election, right? Another way of saying that, similar to 2 Corinthians 13, where we're testing our own faith, right? Not to say, and we're not going to confuse, obviously, our salvation from our sanctification, that, you know, we're saved 100% by the work of Jesus Christ, by his grace, right? It's nothing of ourselves. I mean, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 speaks to that, right? It's not of ourselves. We can't boast. It's literally the free gift of God. And same thing, Galatians chapter 2, at the end of the chapter, Paul says, if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ Jesus died for nothing. That is to say, literally, we're calling Jesus a fool if we try and save ourselves with our works. But we also have the tension that is biblical. For example, in John 14, you know, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so there's this reality, right, of like, okay, where's my heart at? And it's a good and healthy thing for me to stop and go, wait a minute, okay, am I walking in the flesh? Am I walking in the spirit? Right, as we're called to do, because the evidence of that is obvious, right? I don't have to stop and go, okay, Lord, really reveal to me, am I walking in the flesh or am I walking in the spirit? It's obvious. And this seems to be like a very biblically normative practice. One example of that came to my mind is what we do with communion, you know, where we're invited to learn, or not learn, we're invited to remember and reflect on the work of Christ that he's done for us on the cross. Right. But Paul also invites us to do some self-examination in the context of remembering Christ's work as well. Think of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you know, where Paul gives us the beautiful reminder of communion. He says, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, gave thanks, and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he says, in the same way, he also took the cup and said, this cup is the new covenant established by my blood. Do so as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And then he goes on, therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. So a man should examine himself in this way. He should eat the bread and drink the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment to himself. And then goes on to talk about the behavior of this church, right? So that there, is an invitation, you know, even in the commandment of remembering Christ's work, that gives us that opportunity to just have a heart check with the Lord, right? To really flush these things out. And so it does seem, like you're saying, Jason, it does seem to be a very biblical practice and actually a very healthy practice, which is not, I'm not questioning my salvation necessarily, but I am considering, you know, where's my heart in relationship to the Lord at any given time?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, one reason I've already mentioned our fast-paced lifestyle, but also I think another reason that goes with that, that comes from the culture, is so much of our culture says simply affirm yourself. You know, you do you. Whatever you want to be, you be. You know, thy will be done, essentially, is what the culture keeps telling us. And because of that, we have especially to follow the practice of what Paul says in Romans 12, offer up our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice to the Lord. This is our spiritual worship. And so, you know, beginning each day with that mindset of I am living a surrendered life to the Lord, my body. So what I do with my body, it's not just accountable to me. It's not just you do you. It's I'm accountable to the Lord with what I do with my body, with how I spend my time, with what I prioritize, with how I treat others, my relationships, how I manage my money. All of these things have to come through the grid of, is this what Jesus would have me do? Not, is this what feels right to me, especially what feels right to me in the moment? Because again, the Bible's pretty clear on this, that the heart is deceitful above all things. That passage in James says, you know, if you were to be only a hearer of the word, but not a doer, you're just going to deceive yourself, because the heart is really good at justifying itself. And, you know, Paul Tripp talks about how we all have this inner lawyer that rises up to our defense. Anytime somebody, you know, brings something up to us or confronts us about something, we want to defend ourselves and say, no, it's not my fault. I'm good. And what the healthy man, the man who's not going to be self-deceived, does is he looks at the mirror of the Word of God. This could be anything related to your thought life, purity, how you manage money. Again, any of these things that could rise up from the text and kind of, in a sense, rattle our cage a little bit. You know, if you've played football, I played a little football in high school, and one of those things that you might remember if you did that is, it's called rattling your cage. And if you, your coach gets up in your face and grabs your face mask and shakes it a bit, he's going to get your attention that way, right? He's trying to tell you, look, I am, it's not that I'm against you. I'm for you. I want you to succeed. I want you to be a team player. I want you to help everybody do better. But you have got to stop running that route, that sloppy ramp, that sloppy way. Or you've got to stop going high on your hits. You got to go low on your hits. And whatever it might be, you know, that is needed for us sometimes. And in a sense, that's what the Holy Spirit does with the Word of God. Is he rattles our cage and says, you've got to stop. I love you. Don't make this foolish decision. And if we're not open to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us, in our hearts, and with our minds, and with our affections, we will deceive ourselves, because we'll think, you know what? I got my quiet time in. I just read the Bible. Yep, I can quote that Bible verse to you right now. And yet, has it changed you? Has it made you look at your own life differently? Has it been something that you can say, oh, I want to apply that. I want to live that. I want Jesus to be pleased with what I'm doing in this area. These are all super important questions. And, you know, Jamie, you and I have both heard this, but the number one complaint, I think it's still the number one complaint because I hear it enough. Number one complaint people hear about Christians is hypocrisy. Again, I want to be clear. We're not talking about being a perfect Christian. There's no such thing. It's really bad form to pretend that you have your life all put together just because you're a follower of Christ. We're all a mess, but are you moving towards Christ? Are you leaning into what he wants to do in your life? And if people are saying, look, this person who's saying they're a Christian is hypocritical, you know, following Christ whatever that means, doesn't seem to affect the way they treat their wife or their kids, or for women, it doesn't matter because they seem to disrespect their husband just as much as anybody else. If they're seeing that, and the world is watching, by the way, Jesus made that clear, that the world's going to be watching us. If they're not seeing a difference, man, that is a pretty big indictment. Again, I want to be careful not make you think I'm telling you Christians ought to be perfect in every way or have this all figured out. But if there's no reasonable attempt to live that spirit-empowered life and try to bring your life into conformity with God's word and please Jesus in that way, there should be concern. That's an unexamined life that is not being changed by the word of God.
Yeah. At the same time, too, I think embracing the whole counsel of God's word is a piece of that puzzle, right? Because one of the things I think we typically want to do is we'll just deal with it. You know, it's us and the Lord, and we'll just deal with it. And yet that isn't what the Bible calls us to do either. We literally are called to community and interaction with others. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. Like, first of all, we're made in the image of God, and God is in perfect community. Therefore, we're made for perfect community, right? So we are meant, per God's design, to be in relationship with Him, but also to be in relationship with other people as well. And then the second thing is, I think it's too easy to give in to sin when we are not living a transparent life and we are not choosing to walk in accountability. And that even plays out, you know, in terms of like reading the Bible and stuff like that. If I am not regularly engaging with others, then my tendency is to not do it as much, right? Or that kind of thing. And, you know, you see this concept. I know we've talked about this a lot in other episodes, but the Bible calls us to this radical transparency. And there's something kind of crazy in it where if we're willing to humble ourselves and actually do what God calls us to do, there's kind of a powerful aspect to it that we really do actually overcome sin in much more dramatic ways than we do just on our own. And I think there's a ton of reasons for that. You know, it gives us people to pray for us. It gives us people to encourage us and point us back to the Lord and remind us of God's word, because that's a lot of it right there, right? I may know God's word, but in the moment, I may forget what I need. And so having those reminders, I think, is really, really helpful in overcoming sin. But most importantly, if I'm open, then I have to do something about it, right? A good accountability friend, brother, sister is going to say, so what are you going to do? What's your plan? And then I have to specifically state what I'm going to do. And a lot of times it's like, we already know what to do, right? God has already told us what to do. He's given us His word, which gives us the instructions for what we need to do. And then it's just a matter of actually doing it. And it gives them the opportunity to come back later and be like, okay, cool. That's your plan. I'm going to check back in and see how that's going. And I know they're going to do that, right? So I don't want to be in a position where I'm like, well, yeah, I didn't do anything, right? That's pretty lame. But the other aspect of it that I think has really helped me a lot is recognizing odds are good, I'm going to be confessing something. So would I rather confess temptation or would I rather confess sin? And when you think about it that way, like, it actually kind of motivates that, you know, it's so much better to confess temptation than it is to confess sin. And that's, I think, part of the radical transparency as well, is I'm actively admitting which takes, yes, humility for sure, because I have to admit this is a struggle in my life. But then I'm also heading off, you know, the sin, because now I'm creating or having to create that action plan of moving towards the Lord before ever progressing to the point of actual sin. And so it's like, you know, God's word calls us to this, and there's so many aspects that are just abundantly helpful in our seeking to be spirit led and seek the Lord and live and walk differently than the world. And it's really radical stuff. I mean, 1 John, chapter 1, you know, we're told that God is light, and in him, there's absolutely no darkness. And then we're told in verse 7, if we walk in the light, just as Jesus is, as he himself is, the result is we have fellowship, and ultimately the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sin. Pretty cool, pretty powerful promises. And I'd say literally it works out to be true in our lives. And so, yeah, so part of it is understanding God's word. Part of it is seeking the Lord. Part of it is spending time in prayer. And part of it is literally doing the action steps that God calls us to do. And one of those is recognizing I can't do it on my own. It can't just be me and the Lord. It has to literally, I have to have that active accountability in my life. And I have to be willing to confess temptation and create action steps. Okay, here's what God calls me to do. That's what I'm going to do. And it allows that brother or sister to say, okay, how's that going? You recognize God's truth and you said you were going to act on it. So how's that going? And the result is I move further away from sin and closer to the Lord.
That's right. Yeah. And the cool thing about it is, you know, a lot of times people get it in their head, maybe it's the church they grew up in or just the way they've kind of understood Christianity, is they've gotten this in their head where you hear the gospel and then boom, you're saved and then you're set. And then it's like you're off and running. But really, if you read the New Testament, obviously conversion, coming to Christ and you know, falling into his arms for salvation, that is the first and greatest step, of course, the initial step, your new creation. But if you read through, especially the letters of Paul, so much of it is about, okay, now that you're a believer, what does it look like to live this life? And the one another's that come up, and this is just to add to your point, the one another's that show up in all of Paul's letters and in some of the, I think it's in a few of the other passages outside of Paul's letters as well. Well, yeah, obviously 1 John you mentioned, but that community basis for transformation is huge, like you were pointing out. The accountability side of things, and also just the encouragement. Like, this life is rough. We live in a fallen world, and we get beat down by life a lot. And unless you have, if you're a man, brothers who you're linking shields with and confronting the enemy of our souls together, so to speak, you know, extinguishing those fiery darts, when your shield gets lowered, you have another guy whose shield is getting raised up to help. If you're a woman, then same thing exactly for you. I would recommend having that accountability group with other women in Christ, letting them know about your struggles, asking for prayer, asking for that ability, that freedom to speak into your life, because they know you, they love you, and you can trust them. And apart from self-examination, really, none of that gets taken off, because you're not going to know even what you want to share, and you'll probably be so guarded because you haven't yet done the self-examination piece that says, you know what, this is something that I need help with. And a lot of times it's just such a beautiful thing, too, to see how that works out in practical life. Hebrews 10:24, really well-known passage, says, "And let us consider..." So take time, think about this. "Let us consider how to stir up one another." There's another one another for you. "To love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some." See, some people in that Jewish Christian community that were being written to by the Hebrews, they were saying, you know what? I think I can do it alone. I think that I can follow Jesus, and I'll kind of be a secret Christian because, you know, undercover Christians, they don't get as persecuted. They don't get their stuff taken away. They don't miss out on as many things. If I just kind of go under the radar as a follower of Christ, that will work out really well for me. He says, don't do that. Don't neglect to meet together. Be public. Be confessional. Worship together. Meet together. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And see, this is the whole beauty of the way God designed the church, is we were never made to be independent. We were made to be interdependent. And it's through self-examination, it's through confession, and it's through encouragement of one another that we get to do this life. And it becomes something where it's not going to be a quick band-aid fix like you might get in some other kind of support group. No, this is something where it's going to radically change who you are, because more and more of your real self, not the public self or whatever that sometimes doesn't match who you really are, but your real self is going to be exposed to the work of the Holy Spirit. He's going to be working through others, and people's words will register because they're also filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're in contact with you. They know your struggles, and it's going to be something where you recognize, if I don't have these people speaking into my life, I'm going to go off the rails. I'm going to be in trouble. And there's a beauty in that. It's not a despairing thing. It's a really cool thing. It's an awesome thing, because there's that joy that comes from having brothers and sisters who know you well, and we're following Christ together.
Well, and the other aspect too, Jason, of that I think most people don't realize is there actually comes this freedom in that, you know, when you don't share with other people and you don't have accountability, and like you said, you just have your public persona, you're so busy trying to protect that public persona that what that actually does is it actually hinders my ability to pursue the Lord. I'm so busy trying to keep this fake up, and it actually hinders my ability to pursue the Lord, versus, you know, when I am fully open and transparent with, you know, my brothers, or, yeah, for women, sisters, what happens is I actually have this radical freedom. And the radical freedom is this, like, let's say that every sin I've ever committed was doxed tomorrow. Like, everything I've ever done is just put out there on front page of the news, on social media, everywhere. I'll be a little bit embarrassed, for sure, because there's literally a lot of things I've done in the past that I'm very much not proud of, right? They were not godly. They were not good. But what I'm not going to be is afraid. And the reason I'm not going to be afraid is I know that those guys that are really good friends with me, that are around me, that are my accountability, they're going to read that and they're going to go, yeah, we know. We already know about all that. So why are you wasting my time, right? Like, it's not going to come as breaking news to them. And so the cool part is, like, in that scenario, which I think we imagine scenarios like that as, like, you know, not that they ever really happen like that, really, maybe occasionally, but that's sort of the scenario we imagine, and everybody's going to be like, oh, you're so horrible. Oh, you're so disgusting. Oh, I want nothing to do with that person. And yet, in reality, the opposite happens, where when you're willing to humble yourself and be honest with people, what you find is that they actually have more respect for you. Not respect for what you've done or what your struggle is or temptation is. Don't get my meaning wrong there. But there is more respect for you there, that, like, wow, this person is. And then the result of that is then you have this freedom to pursue the Lord, where it's like, hey, You know, in our particular case, like, Jason's a really good buddy of mine. And I would say, honestly, I think I've told him about everything that you could, you know, every piece of yourself, literally, in some form or another. And the cool part is now we can just have honest conversation. And I don't fear that, like, he's going to stop being friends with me or have less respect for me. And then what that does is it frees me up then to pursue the Lord and then be encouraged in that process. And so it's kind of like the logic, Jason, like our human logic is almost literally 100% opposite. I know this is happens a lot, human wisdom versus God's wisdom, but it's definitely true in this case. What we think will happen versus what actually happens are two wildly different things.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where, you know, integrity is not the fruit of closing yourself off from others. Integrity is, I want my public persona to not be a facade. I don't want it to be just the, you know, the fake version of me that I want people to see. Integrity, you know, it comes from that word integer, one. So you're one, you're not two people. You're the same behind closed doors, so to speak, that you are in front of others. And, you know, it is an attitudinal shift for so many of us, because you think about how social media works, and literally people can get in the habit of day after day, they're putting out this public persona. And I'm not saying all social media users are doing this, don't get me wrong, but it's really easy to fall into that trap. It's really easy to publish the photos that make you look good and talk about things that make you look good. And that's just human nature, right? We want others to think well of us. But there is that freedom that you're talking about, Jamie, that you can't have apart from that free acknowledgement that I have stuff that needs to be worked on and I need people to speak into my life. And then integrity is just the fruit of that. It's saying, this is who I am, and people are gonna know me, and I get to be known by others, known and loved, and the kind of trust that comes from that, it's an awesome thing. So all that to say, just to wrap up this episode, is when you begin each day with that mindset of, who am I before the Lord? Who can I? How can I be presenting myself to him and be used by him? And then out of that, how can I relate to other people who can speak into my life and have the freedom to know what's going on in my life and know my struggles and be able to, in a sense, know what's come from that self-examination where I've been with the Lord and asked him to show me things. And when you do that, there's joy that comes from that. There's a sense of peace. You don't have to be anxious about what do others think of me all the time, or am I fitting into this group like I should be? You just know you're all on the same page, and that's an awesome thing. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that's what we all want.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.